with very intensive program. I hope that there is still this space when the things happens which we do not expect and we do not predict. This is the free part of the festival space.
Welkom bij een nieuwe reeks van Spring in het Diepe. In deze podcast neem ik, kunstjournalist Luc Hezen, je mee in wat er te beleven valt op het Spring Performing Arts Festival in Utrecht van 18 tot en met 27 mei 2023. In deze aflevering spreek ik artistiek directeur Gregor Reske, zo'n 3 maanden voor het festival losbarst. Spring 2023, what can we expect?
As always, you can expect unexpectable. I think this is what I keep hearing about spring since I arrived, that this is the festival when you come and you see something you've never seen before. And I'm happy to keep this running like that. Big productions, small productions, productions from far away, from behind the corner, everything between the dance and the theater. So that's the vibe of the spring for more than 10 years now. And we just try to keep it going.
Is there a special theme this year?
Not really. Maybe there are some continuations, lots of works around the new technologies. This year landing not only towards really the new developments, but also how those developments influenced us as a human beings, how they connect us with the nature or disconnect us from the nature. There is still a trajectory called non-Western that works from all around the world, but with the very specific approach this year. As I landed here a year and a half ago, I noticed the incredibly vibrant international ecosystem of the artists who at some point decided to make the Netherlands the new artistic home for themselves. They bring lots of backgrounds from very different parts of the world. So we have works of the Japanese artists, of the Australian artists, of the Argentinian artists, American artists, but they are all now creating in the Netherlands. For this particular production, very often bringing their contributors from their countries of origin.
So that's interesting to show. And I think many people realize that we have such a rich performance scene in the Netherlands.
I think this specificity and real openness of the Dutch performing arts ecosystem for people coming from the different places, it's not enough highlighted. Working also outside the Netherlands, this was always for me, okay, yeah, this is the country when people with the very different backgrounds can find a way to create, to connect with the audience. Nevertheless, I think it should be more embraced and support and present. This is also what Spring was doing in last years and what I would like to underline.
So what does it mean? What are we going to see from makers based in the Netherlands but coming from all 4 corners of the world?
That's a very good question. I don't know in some cases, because this is also another thing. Spring was always and is, and I hope that it will be, the festival of new creations. We have approximately 27 productions through 10 days, out of which few are really world premieres. So no chance for anyone to see before. Mm-hmm. Half of the program, it will be also for me among the audience, a really big surprise what the artists cooked up at the end. This applied to Samara Hesh, Australian artist, graduate does a few years ago. She comes with the work under title It's Going to Get Dark. She really mastered creating a theater as a space when the people who not necessarily normally meet in the society can have an encounter and have a discussions. And in this case, the meeting between the elderly members of the community and youngsters, people over 65 and people younger than 16, to discuss about aging, about passing away at some point, about how we create the memories. What's interesting, this will be the work you can see only once. There were always different set of the performers in the space. So if someone is super interested, come a few times even.
What's her name again?
Samara Hersh.
Yeah.
On the other side, last year graduate from the DAS, Gosia Wdowik, Polish theater maker, who creates her first international project, also with the long title. She was a friend of someone else. Gosia is a theater maker. She's also activist. She's a woman living in Poland. The work, which is a final version of her diploma from DAS program, deals with the most recent feminist revolution in Poland, actions against the new ban of abortion. But it's not only picture from the certain country in Europe, it's also the story about fatigue of being all the time in the activist mode and fatigue of being artist in the this urgent mode. We will have this year two productions which brings Bridge from the last year program. We had two extension of diploma works by young makers Asa Horwitz from United States and Amparo Gonzalez Sola from Argentina. Last year we co-produced the full size productions based on their diploma performances. This year they both came with the idea to come back to the projects they initiated in their previous context and work further on. So the works they were occupied with before decide to come to Netherlands. They come to Utrecht with collaborators from New York and from Buenos Aires. With ASA, it's a music project with four musicians and artificial intelligence and approach to create the kind of neo-opera work live on stage with AI being a libretto writer. Mm. And the four musicians coming with a very different background, including Wayne Horwitz, who is a legendary piano player, recording albums with John Zorn, with the legends of New York underground scene. The musicians are giving the kind of immediate improvised response to the text work of the artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Very different low-tech work of Amparo González Sola, who invites two other performers from Buenos Aires with the kind of white cube installation with the block of concrete in the center of the stage, the block concrete as a symbol of our civilization, very much designed and created from the masculine point of view, and those three women's body which tries to approach this block of concrete and dissolve it into the primary principles back as a kind of revolt against the masculine system.
Right. Yeah. Wow, interesting. So there's ranging from high tech to very low tech or zero tech, actually.
Yes, that's also another line which the work of ASA is part of, but we come also with the two interesting other works dealing with the new technologies and opera, Eurydice by Céline Dieman, work which is already circulating in the Netherlands, work where the makers invite us as an audience to really step into VR world, and in this case, in the case of Eurydice, to really step into the underworld to make this kind of dark step, but again, from a very feminist point of view. So we are not following Orpheus, but we take the side of Eurydice. And a session work of two young makers, the work which also put them together during the study times, Leon Rogisarts and Paul Borebom. Again, a work of the new approach to the opera, but then with the live music in the space, and with the visual parts where audience is invited to step into artificial world created by the makers through the VR system. So these are those high-tech sides of the program, and two very low-tech, or like we can say old-school technologies. The work of Alami Navi, another Dutch maker by choice. He is a Palestinian-Lebanese artist. Create the installation in a site-specific place where the audience will be ushered or informed, invited only the day of the performance. They will get the information where the performance takes place. And the communication between the artist and the audience happens through the WhatsApp. And this is the way how the body of the performance is present. As well as the work of a Finnish choreographer, Mila Kostinen, who in this work, in this particular work, also do not show up in the space of the performance. Instead of that, create using very low-tech elements from our everyday life, or what we used to use in our everyday life, the deck recorder, hand lantern, These kind of objects create a space where two audience members at a time are being set alone with a certain instructions in order to create a performance only for themselves and by themselves.
Oh, wow.
This is the second side of this, like, radically low-tech but still related to technology works. And something which maybe put these two together, it's part of the opening program, the work of Chris Salter, a Canadian visual artist and technology artist, and also researcher of this space and the connections between the technologies and art. Chris took the installation created by one of the leaders of the Bauhaus movement 100 years ago, when the artists start or focus on how the new technologies can create a new way how we produce a theater, how we produce the stage works. He took the light installation originally 100 years ago to be controlled by the human hands, still by the artist in his body.
Mm-hmm.
Chris reconstruct this light system of the five white lights and the sound, but then he set it free and he invites artificial intelligence again to really operate it from the very beginning to the very end. So what we will see as audience members is the simple set of the technical tools completely given to the AI, and AI based on the certain set of the conditions which can detect the motion, light, sound, etc., create something again which every time will be different, because every time will be kind of reset anew for the one 15 minutes loop.
Wow.
I think less and less we are interested as audience members to come to the whatever artistic institution and be client in terms of being passive observer of something which is repetitive. We improved our equipment at homes. We have an access to all kind of streaming platforms. So why we make this effort to go out from home is to have experience and to have to be more actively involved in what is happening. And at the same time, there's in the real life, it's less and less of these opportunities. We go shopping, but we do not meet anymore the cashier at the end. There is automats. We don't go to bank to chat with the people. We don't buy the newspapers in the stands. We don't have interactions. So that's also, I think, the role of the art is, and especially in the mode of the festival, when we are inviting and encouraging audience members that, of course, everyone is super welcome to come to choose one thing and come and see and go back home. But what we try to do is to build the connections and the context to say, hey, stay with us more. See, very often take part, sometimes active. Nevertheless, this is very important for me, at least, and in my curatorial work, that this should be always done in the safe way. So we do not force audience members that, okay, you have to be exposed, you have to do something. This is an open invitation. Let's stay between the performers. Let's meet the artists. Artists are not, they don't want to go home right after the work is done. They want to stay. They want to discuss. They want to not only be inspired between themselves and see their works. This is also the role of the festival. But they are really hungry to have a feedback from the audience. So we try to also create the space where those encounters can happen, not only within the particular artistic projects, but also between them in a more socializing
mode. Yeah, that's interesting. Spring as a meeting place also for makers and audience.
Absolutely. I think this is a crucial. This is, for me, it's always also in the past projects I was involved in. This is a kind of starting point. Okay, we have a festival. This is a social momentum. The origination of the festival comes from this moment of celebration, moment of also changing the perspective. We just not a long time ago experienced Carnival.
Yeah,
the Carnival. This is the Carnival mode. Ah. But as the foundation of the Carnival, it's not only about festivity in terms of having entertainment and good time. It's sometimes it's also about, as a community, how we approach difficult elements, our relations in the community, the powers, what with our community is not necessarily comfortable, and then how we can approach it, sometimes in a very joyful way, the difficult topics in a joyful way, sometimes also other way around. And I think this is why the structure of the festival works, because otherwise, if we talk about those 27 works, they could be presented throughout the year, but when they come together, they also unveil those aspects which only starts resonating when they are put together next to each other. I invite audience and we try to build a certain lines to help the audience to navigate through the program and to see how certain artistic proposals start talking to each other.
Do you have an example of such a program line?
Yes, there are two. For instance, there's a line which we called Black Body, White Gaze, which combine at least three productions by two wonderful artists. Ligia Lewis, she's Berlin-based, US-grown and Dominicana-born choreographer, who is one of the most powerful voice in the contemporary theater, talking about post-colonialism and neocolonialism and how today post-colonialism is really present in the Europeans or global North society. And Harald Behari, young maker with Jamaican background and Norwegian passport, who also really investigates what does it mean for him to be part of European white society with a black body and with a queer body. And they both share this approach, which is less consensual and more confrontational, and come with the very strong position that the colonial history is not something we are done with. It's something which still exists with lots of traces and with lots of pain. And they try to address it, also underlining that they do it primarily in front of the very white and not the audience which really reflects the diversity of the society at large. I mentioned that because I think this is also something which we will continue in the next years. This is a bit of adjusting the doors for the next editions to come. And the second one, another one with the same intention, the line which still we are looking for the good title, it's a line related to diverse bodies and diverse minds, with those members of the community which do not fit to the mainstream picture of the society as we get from the pop culture, from the mainstream media. And this year, with two absolutely outstanding productions, one by Jija Son, a Japanese maker based in Netherlands, with the collaboration with Alexandra Lem and Julia Reins, the work under title Landing on Feathers, the project in which the filmmakers, the graduates of SNDO, who at some point decide to work also as caregivers, using lots of artistic tools, the tools they brought from stage into the work of supporting not fully abled body to operate in the on a daily basis. They came with the idea to flip it over and to bring this practice of caregiving back on stage, creating very personal performance about care itself and also about bringing back in this late capitalistic society, which put the care on the market shelf. It's a product on the market, and bringing it back into the notion of the care as a fundamental element which puts the community together. Care is what makes us the human beings. That's the one. And the second project by Lucy Wilke and Paweł Duduś. Lucy Wilke is use a wheelchair. She's member of the Kammerspiele in Munich, part of the actors team. But she has also independent practice. And in this work, which arrives to Utrecht this year, Lucy, the wheelchair user, and Paweł Duduś, person in a queer body, as he described himself, talks about their friendship, This is the title of the piece. But they talk also about how they see their bodies being reflected on the society,
right.
How they fit or not fit. Lucy will be a kind of guest of honor of the festival this year. Next to being artist, next to being actress, she's also singer. And she created the tandem with her mother. Lucy is a wheelchair user. Her mother is a blind person. They create this music band called Blind and Limb. Blind and Limb, using the biblical story of those two people who put together forces to keep running. A very moving, very soft, somewhere between the blues, jazz and world music set of original songs. They are traveling around the world for more than 10 years now with their music. I think it would be a very special evening also at the festival.
So this is typically the festival. We have lots of themes that are very important now in society. Those themes are reflected on stage at Spring. And there's also the community, there's music, there's a place to talk to makers and sharpen your mind about these themes.
Yes, exactly. I believe that the artist has this special extra sense to look further and deeper. So what then end up in the program, it is a spectrum of the topics which occupies the society, but it really comes from the artists. We try to a certain extent to map that, but this magical part of the festival comes also from the fact that there might be completely unexpected things. There should be space where the things just happen as an encounter between the artists who never met before, as a talks with the audience or as a talks between the audience with very intensive program. I hope that there is still this space when the things happens which we do not expect and we do not predict. This is the free part of the festival space.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a subtitle for Spring.
I think that this should be the overtitle.
Even better.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ben je nieuwsgierig geworden naar de programmering van Spring? Kijk dan op springutrecht.nl. Of kom natuurlijk spontaan langs om je te laten verrassen.